Because Satan, just as God had his man come to the earth, the Son of God, so Satan is going to have his man come to this earth, called the man of sin, the man of perdition, the man of lawlessness. It's Satan's last hurrah on the earth, called the tribulation period, where Satan will supernaturally empower his man to come on this earth, called the Antichrist. And God had his man, Jesus Christ, come to this earth and redeem man. So Satan will have his man, the Antichrist, come to this earth to destroy and do everything he can to ravage and plummet the world and the people on this earth at that time. We have to understand a premise here, that as this earth gets closer and closer to the tribulation period, where the Antichrist steps foot on this earth and takes charge on this earth, the world must become prepared for that man to get here. We're not going to have paradise on earth and then all of a sudden the Antichrist come and have to reverse all of it. In no way. The earth is being set up and prepared for the man of sin, the Antichrist, to take center stage on this planet. And that is why this world is spiraling out of control morally and spiritually. They don't know it. They don't understand it. But what I'm going to teach in the next hour is going to show you from God's perspective what is going on this earth. And it's an Antichrist thought system that is invading this earth and has got far too many in the church world under its spell. And we're going to enumerate that now. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult or perilous times will come. Why? Why? Because God's not at the helm. The enemy, the god of this world, is orchestrating this world, and it will go worse and worse as it gets closer to the tribulation period. Why? Because in the tribulation period, hell on earth is going to break loose. And so the world's got to be prepared for it. And that's what's going on today. It's preparation for the Antichrist. And thus the thought that is prevailing on this earth falls in line with that. That's why the Bible says in the last days, stressful times will come. Times hard to deal with, hard to bear. Didn't say impossible to, hallelujah. Just said hard. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take an effort. And right away, you've got a broad spectrum of Christianity disqualified right there. It's going to take an effort. It takes some work. You've got to work out your salvation. And I'm going to get ahead of myself here. That's in the last part of this hour, how the modern-day American, especially American church, is so prime for this sentiment. Oh, watch this come together, guys. Realize this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, boy, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. However, verse 5, it sounds like it's all talking about the world, doesn't it? Oh, that evil, wicked world. I don't see the world trying to in any way copy godliness. Do you? No. So what is he really talking about here? Why are the times going to spiral and get worse? Because the salt loses its savor. Much of the salt becomes dull. The lights get put under the basket. The church, many in the church fall away from the faith. They apostatize from the faith. How do we look at verse 5? Holding to a form, an outer form without substance, godliness. It's a superficial relationship with God. It says, holding to an outer form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. They have denied its power. Well, it sounds like they don't want anything to do with the power of God. That's not what the real essence of this is talking about. What it's really saying is, they have denied what's required to get them to the power of God. The word deny can be translated to say no to. What have they denied? What are they saying no to get them to the power of God? Go to Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to show you this word denied used in 16. By the way, I've got a whole class on this called The Church in the End Times. If you want to know more on this subject, this is not an exhaustive teaching on the end times. We've got a 13-hour class devoted to the last days in the church called The Church in the End Times. What are they really denying when it says, although they have denied its power? You see, man is attracted to power. The flesh of man is attracted to power. But you see, to get to the power of God requires something from people. What does it require? Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must, what church? Deny himself. Same Greek word as used. They've denied the power. They have an outer form of godliness, but they've denied the power. They've said no to. The word can be translated to say no to. So what does it mean that they've said no to the power of God? What they've really said no to is what's required of their lives to get them to the power of God. Nothing's required of you to flip on the floor and roll around in spasms. Nothing's required of you for that. That's why the enemy and the adversary loves those dog and pony shows in the name of Christ. Where you have the Holy Ghost hitmen and Holy Ghost bartenders throwing out the Holy Spirit. People laughing on the floor for hours. Nothing's required of you there. But to really follow Jesus Christ, Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must say no to himself. He must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. What does it mean to say no to self? That doesn't mean you don't eat anymore. What's it talking about? That part of self that is contrary to God's word must be said no to if you want to follow Jesus. We must say no to self-pleasure and self-comfort if it's at the expense of truth being formed in our lives. Ooh, we're striking a nerve. We must say no to self-pleasure and self-comfort. We must be willing to sacrifice. We must be willing to change. We must be willing to repent. Does that cost people something? Oh, yes. Oh, big time. We've got to, really what Jesus is saying there is you've got to die to self. That part of your life that's contrary to God, that part of our life that's walk contrary to God's word, you've got to now say no to that if you want to follow Jesus. Does that cost people something? Big time. Big time. We got a whole class on it. I'm not going to teach that whole premise. I'll never get to what I want to get to here. But this is what people really say no to. They say no to saying no to self. And in saying no to self and denying self is the road to following Jesus Christ, where our inner man can be renewed and become more like him. Do you follow that? That's the power of God to transform our lives. It costs you something to say no to self. It costs your comfort, your ease, your pleasure. And it's uncomfortable to change, to receive God's conviction. It's uncomfortable. I understand that. But that's what's required to get you to God being able to transform your life. That's the power of God. When your life becomes transformed and you're becoming more and more conformed into his image and likeness, you can then begin doing more of the works of Jesus Christ. You're more like him. That's the power of God. So what are people saying no to? They're not saying no to the power in Timothy. They're saying no to self. That gets them to the power of God. You see that? That's what a lot of people, and is the church being set up for this? Oh my. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Oh my. Churches today are so bold to even advertise in their advertisements often. And the things they put out. Less Bible. You won't be uncomfortable. No conviction. You'll be at ease. Basically, they're catering to their flesh. Can I tell you that? I'm going to show you that. I'm going to prove it to you in living color. They're catering to their flesh. That is an anti-Christ mind. What do you want to call it? Conspiracy or whatever you want to call it? From the enemy. And boy, is the modern American church being set up for this one. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 1. Now we request, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or disturbed, either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come. What won't come? The day of the Lord. Our gathering together with him, to meet him in the clouds. It will not come unless, the New American Standard has it very good, unless the apostasy comes first. First before what? The day of the Lord. Before the gathering together. See the scenario? The day of the Lord, the gathering together of the saints to be with him, will not come unless the apostasy comes first. First before what? Before the day of the Lord. Before the gathering together. And then the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. So what happens before the church is gathered together? This massive worldwide revival where everybody's being changed and transformed and the world's being set on fire for Jesus. Nope. Apostasy. Apostasy. The day of the Lord will not come unless the apostasy comes before that day of the Lord, and then the man of lawlessness is revealed. What is the word apostasy in the Greek? Apostasia. Very good translation in English. Apostasia. What does it literally mean? Apostasia means a falling away. A falling away. A defection. A revolt from the faith. That's apostasy. A falling away. A defection. A revolt from the faith, which is God's word. So what are we going to happen? What's going to happen with a lot of people on this earth is that there's going to be a falling away, and you know where it starts, don't you? It doesn't start in your big toe, right? It starts where? Right up in that mind. There's a defection, a revolt, a falling away from the faith in people's minds before the day of the Lord comes. Absolutely. What's happening? Notice that word. I want you to key in on it. Unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. He's called the man of what? Lawlessness. That is a principle we're going to develop in this last hour. Lawlessness. What's going on here? The apostasy is preparing the world for the devil's man on earth, who will be called the Antichrist. And he's called the man of lawlessness. Anomia in the Greek. Anomia means lawless, not governed by principle or standards. People who are not governed. This is talking about the man of lawlessness means anomia. Okay? Without nomos. We're going to see that in a little while. Nomos. Anomia. From which we get the word nomos, which is law, rules, standards, guidelines, okay? Anomia means lawless, not governed by standards or rules or principles, okay? No surprise that he is that way. Of course, he's the Antichrist. Jesus Christ, would you say that Jesus Christ was governed by lawfulness or lawlessness? Did he keep every word? Did he obey every principle? Did he obey every word? Absolutely. He was lawful, wasn't he? And now we have Satan's man who is lawless. So we have Jesus Christ lawful, Satan the Antichrist lawless. Now as the world apostatizes and falls away from the faith before the Lord returns, the world is being set up for their man. Now I want you to go to verse 7 with me. And this is a critical verse in the Bible. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Where? In the world. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work in the world. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Notice verse 7 again. For the mystery, the Greek word mystery, literally means hidden secret principle. A hidden secret principle. It's a mystery. Mysterion. It means it's hidden. It's a secret. And lawlessness is a principle. So the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Where? In the world. Preparing the world for the man of lawlessness, so that when he steps foot on the stage, the world is ready to receive him. Most of it, anyway. So what do you see here? The secret hidden, or the hidden secret principle of lawlessness is already at work. Now, once again, the word lawlessness, anomia, good word, lawless, not governed by law, not governed by principle, not governed by standards. It's a contempt for law. There are two main streams of apostasy in Christianity in the last days. There are two main streams of apostasy in Christianity in the last days. Number one, there are many mainline denominations have fallen away, apostatized, because apostatized means to fall away. Many mainline denominations have fallen away or apostatized from believing God's word is God-breathed. They don't believe the Bible is literally true. This is absolutely abhorrent, but it is epidemic in Christianity today. The attack is on that God breathed his word, that it's really God's word, the Bible. Many mainline denominations don't believe it anymore. It's staggering. I'm not going to name them. But how many don't believe in a literal resurrection today? Many. How many don't believe in a literal virgin birth? Many. They've apostatized. They have fallen away from the faith. And thus, when that is true of them, they loosely govern their life by its principles or law. Key phrase there. They loosely, very loosely, govern their lives by its principles or law. And thus, what's happened really is, to sum it up for you, they've become lawless. Very lawless. Oh, they may not rape or murder or steal, but boy, oh boy, they can be as bitter and angry and resentful and vengeful as anybody, or dishonest as anybody on this earth. It's lawlessness. How did it happen? They were set up for it. They apostatized from believing the Bible was literally breathed by God. And thus they loosely follow it. Have you seen that play out in Christianity? Oh my goodness! The other stream of apostasy, number two, the other stream of apostasy are those, especially often in the charismatic movement, not all, who don't govern their life strictly to God's word and principles because they believe God is pouring out new wine. God is doing a new thing by his Spirit. And very often these people live very unprincipled and lawless lives, contrary to God's word, However, they're being led by the Spirit. I have had people tell me that a prophet walked up to someone in a church one time. I know this person, told me the story. It was told to her in a mainline big charismatic church. A prophet walked up to her and said, "That which you've been thinking about doing for a long time, you need to obey God and do." You know what she was thinking about doing for a long time? Divorce her husband on no biblical grounds. But see, the prophet under the Spirit had the anointing. And the anointing told her, now he might have not known what it was, but boy, that's awful amazing, the words and the timing of it. But this is what you have happening going on in Christianity today, especially in charismatic movement. They've departed from the Bible being their standard. They're not accountable to it. God is doing new wine. God is pouring out new wine. He's doing a new thing. And boy, they're getting revived by the Spirit. They have this wonderful walk and relationship and revival with God, but they don't know the Bible. They don't know Scripture. They don't learn how to take their thoughts captive. Hey, that's bondage. That's legalism. Or they're manifesting terrible fruit in their life. There's bad things coming from that tree, but you can't judge them, brother. You're not allowed to judge. What have you got? Apostasy. It's a falling away from the faith, from God's word, from being lawful, from living obedient to God's word. You've got this going on in mainline charismatic circles, unbelievable today. The Spirit is pouring out new things, new wine, and they are not held accountable to the word of God. And that's how Satan gets his thing into the body of Christ. They're not accountable to it. So, what are they living? They have, without their knowing it, they have succumbed to that mystery, that hidden secret principle of lawlessness that's at work. Do you see that? They're not accountable. God's doing a new thing. It's bigger. It's greater. It's different. You can't judge it by the word of God. So bottom line is, the Bible says test all things. For me to be able to test all things, I got to have something to test it with. But they've removed that from us. So now what have they moved into? Their own standards, their own principle, their own law, governed by the move of the sovereign move of God's Spirit. What have you got? Very often, you can't judge the fruit because God's reviving me. God's doing these powerful, wonderful things for me. Oh boy, backs people right up. Well, but you're mean, you're nasty, you lie, you're dishonest. Brother, you're not allowed to judge me. Is this going on today? Oh my, let me tell you something. What you've got here is apostasy in the body of Christ. It's lethal, but very subtle. It's all clothed in the Bible. Very subtle. But they're not taught how to abide in the vine. They're not taught to obey God. They're not taught to redeem the time. They're not taught to discipline their life and their mind to the word of God. They call that legalism. So what have you got? Whatever the Spirit leads, they do. So get on the floor, put a dog leash on, and bark like a dog. That's what God's doing now. I can't judge it. What do you got? Lawlessness in the body of Christ. Lawless. People living in habitual fear, anxiety, stress, anger, bitterness, revenge. What is that? Lawlessness. You're not taking your thoughts captive. What's that? Lawless. Is it going on today? Am I the only one? Is it going on today? What have you got? You've got the mystery of lawlessness promoted by the Antichrist kingdom invading this earth, infecting the church, and getting God's people away from living by his principles and his word. And convincing them they can do it without living by his word. That they can live by God's, they can live by God and be obedient to God without living by his word. I've talked to people who told me that this wonderful revived relationship, this great walk with Jesus, them and Jesus are so close. And I started asking them about the Bible. They said, "Well, I don't read the Bible."
I never read the Bible.
They wouldn't know the book of Ephesians if they tripped over it. They don't know the Bible, but they've got this wonderful walk with the Lord. What have you got? Lawlessness. They're not governed by law. They're not governed by principle. They're not governed by standards. Is it infecting the body of Christ? Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. What is this all about? It's called apostasy. It's a falling away from the faith. It's lawlessness. And let me tell you what it's doing, church. It's causing a weakening and a breaking down of the mind to govern and discipline their thoughts to principle or God's law. That is what lawlessness produces, bottom line. It weakens the mind. It breaks down the mind to govern and discipline your thoughts to principle or standards or law, which is God's word. That's bondage. That's legalism. So taking your thoughts captive is legalistic. God's doing a new thing. Doesn't matter how you live your life. Doesn't matter what fruit's coming out of your life. Doesn't matter. You can't judge it. God's doing a new thing. What have you got? Lawlessness. Lawlessness. And people have been so ignorant of Scripture, they're afraid to judge. Well, I can't judge. Really? How would you know if a tree's good, if it's putting out good fruit or bad fruit, if you couldn't make a determination what kind of fruit it was? How silly. There's righteous judgment and unrighteous judgment. You have to judge the fruit that comes from, you never judge their heart, but you judge the fruit that comes out of their life, and if you don't, you're a fool. And you don't know Scripture at all. The Bible says remove the sexually immoral person from your midst in the book of Corinthians. Well, how would you know if they're sexually immoral if you couldn't make a judgment about how they were living? How silly. So they've got all kinds of cover so that they can live in lawlessness. Watch this. What does lawlessness mean again? The Greek word anomia means not governed by law or principle or standards, God's law. They are not governed by God's law. They have a contempt for their life being governed or principled or disciplined to God's law. Now, anomia comes from the Greek word nomos. Anomia, or lawlessness, comes from the Greek word nomos. Nomos means law. Law. Norms, rules, customs, traditions, standards, law. God's law is that which governs man's conduct. Law represents God's living will. Now listen very carefully here. Very carefully here. This is going to flush out lawlessness big time. God's law, or the law of God and God, are one. The law of God and God are one. They are inseparable. And I will show you now that opposing a lifestyle that is opposing God's law opposes God. A lifestyle that is opposing God's law, or that you're loose and you're not living strictly to the word of God. If you're living opposing God's law, you are opposing God. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want to go right through this very strongly here and show you this very clearly. This is the seeds of lawlessness, church. The Antichrist system wants to convince God's people that they can have this wonderful generic walk with God and Jesus apart from governing their life by the word of God. And we see that played out all over Christianity today. All over. Now let's see if the Bible supports that. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. We covered this earlier in the class, but now watch this in context. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. The mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. Why is it hostile toward God? Why is it hostile toward God himself? Why? For it does not subject itself to the law of God. Thus, if your mind is not subjected to the law of God, your mindset is hostile to God. The law of God and God are one. If you're opposing God's law, you're opposing God. If you're not taking your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, then you are in opposition to God's law. And if you're living in opposition to God's law, you are living in opposition to God. And the people in the fake movements in Christianity today and the movements today are trying to tell you, above everything else, this is not true. But let's see if the Bible proves it out. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Remember that key verse in 2 Thessalonians. The man of lawlessness is going to step on this earth. And verse 7 said, the mystery, the hidden secret principle of lawlessness is already at work. It's already actively working in this earth system, preparing it for the man of lawlessness. Now, opposing God's law equals opposing God. How simple. We just read that in Romans chapter 8. Now let's look. Like a lot of people, they have this incredible walk with Jesus. Jesus is everything to them. And then you find out, well, let's get into the Bible. They don't know a flippant thing about the Bible. They don't know any Bible verses. They don't know the Word of God. They don't live their life principled. Their lives, their minds aren't governed by God's standards, the law or principle. But they have this wonderful walk with God because, after all, they came down on the altar and the anointing hit them. And, brother, the anointing revived them. And now they've got the Lord. And, man, they've got all they need now. Is that happening today? Look at what Jesus said. Luke chapter 6. By the way, we're all for the anointing here. We believe in the anointing. We believe in God's Spirit. We believe in being empowered and revived by God's Spirit. Absolutely. But not contrary to his word. They all work together. It works with and through God's word. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke 6, verse 46. Notice what he says. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Notice what Jesus is saying there. Why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and living lawlessly? You're not governing your life by what I tell you to do. You're not governing your life by what I'm telling you to do. You're living lawlessly. Why in the world do you think you can call me your Lord if you're doing what you want to do and you're living lawlessly? You see, it's not possible to really make Jesus your Lord and live lawlessly. That's what he's teaching us right here. But boy, does the enemy kingdom want us to believe it can happen just fine. Are you seeing this? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Boy, are we going somewhere on this. I'm going to really turn it up a notch and get this going because I really want to get to this. You got to understand this. You see, by not believing this, we have succumbed to the mystery of lawlessness that's actively at work on this earth. But we must understand God and his law are one. God and his law are inseparable. And if you don't redeem the time and you don't take your thoughts captive, then it is not possible to abide in the vine. And we're going to see that in a little while. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what fellowship or what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? What partnership? What an agreement? does righteousness and lawlessness have in common? They are mutually exclusive. They don't exist together. When one comes in, the other goes out. How many people live lawless lives and say they got this wonderful walk with the Lord? What have they succumbed to? The mystery of lawlessness that's at work on this earth. They don't know it. They don't identify it as such. But that is what they have succumbed to. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to go several places to show you this. It's all over the Bible. 1 John. By the way, look at the God of the Old Testament with Israel. Could they live lawlessly and get God's blessing? You tell me. Was that what it was about? Hey, I understand what's going on. Hey, that's okay. I understand. I'll bless you anyway, right? Are you kidding me? Lawlessness got them opposing God. Opposing God's law got them into opposing God. Do we connect that? When we live in anger and we let the sun go down on our anger habitually, we are opposing God's law. And if we stay in that state long enough, we are opposing God. If we live in unforgiveness and we're not forgiving people like we should, we are opposing God's law, his standards. We're not governing our life by his law, his principle, his standards. And if we live in that state and don't repent of it, then we get into an opposition with God. Do you see that? How true. But boy, can you see how many people have been deceived into thinking they got this incredible walk with God, and they don't even try to govern their life by God's word. How is it possible? It's not. Look at 1 John 2, verse 3. 1 John 2, verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know him. If. Oh, see that word if, church. If. We what? Keep his commandments. Would you agree that that's the opposite of living lawless? Would you agree that that's somebody who's living lawfully, who's striving to live lawfully and govern his life by the word of God and by the standards of God's word? Yes. What does the Bible say? By this we know him. By this we have know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Could God be any more clear, church, that you cannot live lawlessly and have this wonderful relationship with God? Could it be any clearer? But how many in the church believe you can? How many in the church don't understand this, don't connect it? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. Boy, we've got all kinds of people today, all kinds of traveling dog and pony shows in the name of Jesus Christ today under the banner of Christianity. And these people's lives are abhorrent many times. I've talked to many people. Their lifestyles are abhorrent. The fruit they manifest is awful. But yet God's doing all these miracles through them. We're going to see that in a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, the New American Standard says, I don't remember the King James, strive lawfully or something. I don't remember what it says there. But also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. I like the King James there better. He does not win the prize unless he strives lawfully. Did you hear that? You don't win the prize unless you strive how? Lawfully. The Greek word nomimos from nomos, which is law, standard. If you don't govern your life by God's principles or God's law, you don't win the prize. I don't know how much clearer God could be. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. Now, we're not talking about governing your life perfectly. We're not talking about doing everything perfect. We know God knows we're going to sin. We know that. God knows it. He's not surprised. All right? We fall short. We're weak. We have weaknesses and we fall short. God's not saying unless you strive lawfully perfectly that you can't win the prize. What he means is there has to be a cognizance. There has to be a heart that's seeking him. There has to be a heart that repents when we miss it, when we're wrong. There has to be a heart that's seeking God's truth. And if you're seeking God's truth, God can deal with all of the sins that you're going to fall into and I'm going to fall into, and God can deal with it. But if we're not striving and seeking God's truth and to live according to it, we become disqualified from the faith. And I'm going to show that in a little while. Look at Matthew chapter 7. What, boy, is this incredibly powerful right here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Does that sound like somebody who's striving lawfully? Who's at least striving to live according to God's truth and God's word? Would you agree? Yes. How many, what does the Lord say? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father. Verse 22. Many will say to me on that day. He didn't say a few, he said many. He said many, church. He said many. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And Jesus Christ says to them, and on that day, on the judgment day, verse 23, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Oh my. Oh my, what truth. How many people today are promoting all these incredible things of God and miracles and prophecies and healings and all this stuff going on, but their lives aren't governed by God's principle. Their lives are lawless. They don't strive to strive lawfully. What does the Bible say then? You might have done those things, but you didn't do them through me. Is that sobering? Is that sobering? What was the Lord's barometer? Lawlessness. Were you obedient? Did you strive lawfully? Did you submit your heart to seek me, to live in truth, to govern your mind and your thoughts and your life by my word? When you do that, you can abide in the vine. When you abide in the vine, you can bear fruit. When you bear fruit, your gift can be maximized, and Jesus' gift can go through your life. What did Jesus also say in John 15? If you don't abide in the vine, you can do nothing. What have we got today? Loads of people doing all these incredible things, but they live lawless lives. They don't teach that you have to live by the word of God. They don't govern their mind, their thoughts, their life by the word of God, by the principles of God's word. What do you got going on? Lawlessness. What did Jesus say? I never knew you. I never knew you. Don't say it. I did them through you. I didn't. Then what was happening? These people succumb to the mystery of lawlessness that's infecting many in the body of Christ today. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I hope this is making sense to you. Boy, this is just what we've got to hear for the body of Christ and Christianity in these last days. People hold to an outer form of godliness today. They want the easy route. They want the comfortable route. They want that which makes them feel ease, at ease and comfortable. No conviction, no Bible, no heavy teaching, no word of God. Can I say that equals no change? So here's how you can live in your flesh and follow the Lord and have this wonderful walk with the Lord. Hogwash! Look what's being propagated on the body of Christ today. It doesn't matter how you live. God is love. God's a God of grace. I believe in God's love, and I believe in God's grace. Absolutely. but it's being used as a prop for wrong living and wrong thinking. And it's justifying their lives unbiblically, and they will be accountable for it. And I'm going to show you that in a little while. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And we'll turn, and on the next side of the tape, we'll continue this.